This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the No Nay Never Football Show and podcast. I am your host, Natalie Bromley, and it is finally here. It is our championship special. After clinching promotion away at Borough a few weeks ago, Burnley have finally got their hands on that championship trophy. And my goodness, did we do it in style. You could not have written a better ending to the season than this. After the disappointment of that home loss against QPR, losing our winning streak and our home record, it was written in the stars that Burnley would, in fact, lift the title at Ewood Park, right in front of our fiercest rivals. A night to poke about for generations, a night that none of us will forget in a hurry. We're going to give you a full analysis later on, but for now, here's some immediate reaction from None and Ever of some of the talking points and reaction to that title.
Good evening, it's Tom here. Hope you're all sufficiently recovered from last night's celebrations.
I wasn't lucky enough to get a golden ticket to beat Ewood Park last night, but that certainly didn't put a dampener on the Rigby's celebrations. Not only did we seize the league title, but to do it in our biggest rival's own backyard is something that certainly won't be forgotten for a long time.
Yeah, fantastic. Still over the moon, still on cloud nine with it all. It's just been a season of amazing moments, hasn't it? And I think even after the QPR game, you know, we were disappointed, wasn't we? But I think that was quickly forgotten. We're getting the win at Ewood Park, and all the more, I think in some ways, it's all the more sweeter that we possibly wasn't at our best.
I think it
leaves possibly a little bit more salt in the wounds from Blackburn fans.
Brilliant night. We'll never do that, you know. To win the league title at your greatest rival's ground, it's just brilliant. What a feeling. What a brilliant night. What a brilliant season. Up the Clarence.
I thought the way we stood up to pressure was outstanding. And you know what? We was on the back foot for a while in that game. Unfortunately, I had a ticket last night and I had to give it up for work, which is a little bit disappointing. It was one of them. My auntie took it. So hopefully she fully enjoyed it. Like I said, I thought we stood up really well. You know, I was watching it thinking, God almighty, we're under pressure here, and it was nerve-wracking. And I think the two substitutions changed the game, and I thought Cork, when he come on, listen, maybe an orange card for him with that tackle. It was a little bit naughty, but...
Oh, I can see an argument for a red there, to be honest.
Yeah, I can see an argument for both, so I'll stay on the fence with a nice hypothetical orange card.
Apparently it was a booking plus, and I didn't know that this... existed. It's a yellow. Apparently, it's a yellow card.
Yeah,
he got that.
Yeah,
it's like a
serious yellow. I've never heard of that, to be honest.
Me neither.
You know, I'll be honest. You know, and obviously the ref did give him a bit of a stern talking to, but ultimately he come on and he rattled a few of the cages. Didn't he? I thought for 60 minutes. You know, I put a tweet out. I thought Adam Wharton was absolutely outstanding.
He's some player, isn't he?
You know, when you look at an 18. You know, take away the Blackburn thing. You know, an 18-year-old young English player. And I would say he's the first midfielder who's been able to dominate a game against us. But once Cork went on and he really upped the intensity, and I think the rest of the players stepped up. And his tackle and his assist led to Benson's goal too. So I think, you know, you do question company at times. And, No, I thought overall it personally by the Vitinho inclusion, I thought he got it pretty much right last night, to be honest with you, yeah.
All the lads have played a huge part over the season, but the man of the moment is the one and only Manuel Benson. He's had two opportunities to score the goal over the last week to try and seal the league title, which were unfortunately nullified. So it was great for him to seize the opportunity last night with Wonder Strike Mark 3 to become the hero that we all know he is. The goal really epitomises the transformation that Burnley have made over the last season to become a really exciting footballing side. Back in August, I did my first podcast. It was called Marvellous Manuel, and it hailed his super sub appearance off the bench, something which he became known for the remainder of the season. His physicality was questioned at the beginning, especially against some of the bigger sides, but after working in training sessions with some of the more brutal lads in the team, he soon grew in confidence and was able to stand his ground and take on these challenges. Defenders know that he's going to cut in from the right and curl an absolute peach of a goal into the net, but they just can't do anything about it. With 13 goals in all the competitions, we should have believed Vincent Kompany when he said that he didn't need an out-and-out striker when goals were able to come from all over the pitch. Our marvellous, magical, miraculous Manuel.
What an amazing goal, to get it. Benson again, kind of cutting in inside and just whipping it into the top corner. Three out of three games, he's done that. And he's been a real boost for us having him back in the side. Imagine how many more goals he would have scored if he kept fully fit all season. And I think he's got 10 championship goals already.
Just here to talk a little bit about the decisions in the game last night. It's the two big talking points. So taking them in chronological order, the first one was Jack Cork. I thought he made a massive difference to the game when he came on. I think we struggled in the first half to control the midfield. You had Wharton. Why Adam Wharton didn't play in the first game is beyond me, but he was pulling the strings for Blackburn in that midfield. I think they won the midfield battle, but Cork coming on was a good sub. He turned the tide. Wasn't afraid to put himself about. He was quite lucky, I thought, not to get booked in for the first tackle, the one where he's just a bit late on their bloke. He does get through his ankle, and I think that was a yellow. See, you get it quite a lot in derby games where the ref's just a bit lenient, maybe just forgives the first foul, just so it doesn't turn into a red card fest. Leaving that aside, because I think that's a yellow, but if he's on a yellow, he doesn't make the second tackle, so there's no point saying he should have gone for two yellows. The one that he did get booked for, obviously the debate is whether or not it's a straight red. He gets the yellow card. I think it's one where you couldn't have really complained if he got sent off, because the challenge is just the technique's really poor. It's 2 feet off the floor, which is that really that should be a red. But I think it's the way that he does it that it's maybe sort of an orange card. I think the ref maybe just decides that to be lenient with it because of the outcome of it. So he goes 2 feet off the floor, but he doesn't really trap the man's leg. So his left foot is quite a way off the right foot, and that's why it's not a potential leg breaker, because he doesn't trap the foot. You know, if you go in there and scissor the standing leg with a planted foot, then that's a leg breaker. But there's never any danger of him doing that. And credit to the Blackburn man, actually, he doesn't make a meal of it. He gets up and plays on. I think the ref's got the yellow card out because of the fact that 2 feet have left the floor. And I think it's not a red because of the fact that, you know, he doesn't hit a planted leg. He doesn't really make contact with the man at all. He does play the ball. So probably a fair decision, although, again, he couldn't have really complained too much if he was sent off for that. Going on to the last minute handball, so Barnes, the arm is out, and I think that's probably why it is a handball. It's not a natural body shape. He's made himself bigger. He's gained an advantage from having his arm held out. But having said that, the cross is from about a yard away. He hasn't really got time to pull his arm out of the way. You know, you can argue his arm should be out there in the first place, but I don't think it's quite a stonewall as some people are making out, because of the distance. You know, I think if that happens after 20 minutes of the game, I think it's forgotten about pretty quickly. I think the reason it's become such a big talking point is at this point, you know, Blackburn have not really given Urich much to do in the whole game. They've run out of ideas. All we really saw from him in the last few minutes was that corner coming into the box. And it's desperation, really, at that point. You know, they know they need an equaliser to save the playoff aspirations, really, to stop us becoming league champions at Ewood. And I think that's probably why you hear such a big outcry. You notice sort of a minute after that, their man does the exact same thing. So there's a ball on the edge of the box. He controls it with his arm. The cross gets headed away, and that's when Benson breaks away and hits the bar. But that's the same thing. You know, his arm's out. He controls it with his arm, actually, and there's not been any mention of that at all. You know, if that cross comes over and they score from it, just as controversial, really, but it wasn't mentioned at all, and that's because, you know, we weren't desperate like they were. So, again, I wouldn't have complained if it had been given, but you can see the reasons for it not being given, especially where the cross comes, so, you know, where it's blocking the linesman's view. So, probably got away with one a bit there, but, you know, let's cast our minds back to previous games against the odd enemy. You know, the last time they beat us, you know, we're going back a long time now, but the last time they beat us was a blatant dive from Olsen. Almost as blatant as Barnes in the first half last night. But it's a blatant dive. Of course, that was the last time they actually managed to beat us. And, of course, we all remember what happened in 2013. David Dunn about 4 yards offside. How you missed that little fat get. That far offside, I don't know. But they got away with one there. And you could argue we got away with one or two last night. But, you know, we've been in the Premier League a long time and we know what happens. The bigger club gets the decisions. And so it proved again.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, so Rich, one of the talking points that we are highlighting on this episode takes us right back to the beginning of the game, before we knew what our destiny was going to be last night. And there was a sharp intake of breath when the team was announced. An untested partnership of Aldekeel and Charlie Taylor. Jordan Bayer suffering a foot injury just before the game, and Taylor Howard-Bell has been pushed down to the bench. The justification from VK was that he wanted the left-sided option and the experience of Taylor, and he felt that Aldekeel had massively outperformed in the big games. During the game, Charlie Taylor did give us quite a few heart-in-mouth moments, and a lot of people, including me, were wondering whether or not it was time to take him off and bring Harwood Bellis on to try and keep hold of the game. You're very much in camp Taylor from last night. You were impressed with his performance, irrespective of the heart and mouth moment. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to state your side of the case and let us know what particularly impressed you with Charlie Taylor last night.
Yeah, just listen, let's look at it from a point of view of, yes, he had two poor moments. We're not going to get away from that. He gave the ball away twice. You know, when you try and do a Cruyff turn in your own box, it's, to me, that's a little bit silly at that stage of the game. Yeah. You know, he shouldn't be doing that. But ultimately, he's being asked to play that way. And other than that, I don't understand the reaction to it. Like, I thought he was an absolute rock at the back. He headed balls away. You know, even in the last minute, you know, he got across his defender when he looked like they were going to score. And, you know, I know he went out for a corner, but he cleared the ball away. Like I said, he blocked it. He read the game really well. I would challenge anybody, well, not challenge, that's the wrong word. I would advise people to go and download an app called SofaScore. I think Dave Roberts might use it. Charlie Taylor was the best outfield player for Burnley on that rating. He had 89% passing accuracy throughout the games. People say his passing was bad. He had 89%, which is a very high level, but people only remember two moments in a game. I can't remember some of the other stats about headers and clearances, but he was the number one in the Burnley team. And then when you look at his heat map, he was covering the centre-half position and the left-back position. He was covering Matson a lot.
Matson had a poor game again last night.
Yeah, Matson did have a poor game. I just felt it was just like, yeah, he made a couple of bad moments. So maybe when you're emotional watching the game, you kind of think, oh my God, get him off, get Taylor off. He's having a nightmare.
That's how I reacted emotionally.
How many shots on target did Blackburn have?
No.
One, I think. Maybe one or two.
Did anything get past him?
No. Listen, he's not as good as Bayer. He's not as good as Arwood Bellis. Arwood Bellis has been a little bit shaky since he's come back. And it'd be very, very interesting if you... And I know I don't think he's been asked this. If somebody asked Kompany what his reaction to Taylor's performance was. And I think he was strong. Listen, and you've got to understand that Taylor's not a ball player. He's not a centre-half.
No.
Is he? And he's not. And it does show at times. But I just seen some of the reaction. I thought it was just quite hyperbolic, really, and quite over the top. Because, yeah, they had a couple of little spells. And I can understand the clamour. You know, maybe he's had a good game so far. So get him off before he does anything too daft. But like, ultimately, he can pose himself back. You know, I thought he can pose himself really well. And I don't like to use the word scapegoat, but I thought it was a little bit over the top. And
it was
like
maybe an outlet, I think, for the nerves. I think he gave like it was a really nervy game. I was absolutely bricking it all the way through. It was not comfortable. My heart was racing. And when Murich has given this outlet a lot in the season as well, when you give you that heart in mouth moment, it pushes you over the edge and all of that tension comes out. And you're like, oh, for God's sake, you know, and it gives you an outlet for your frustration. And I think that's probably what we saw with Charlie Taylor last night, in that it gave fans an easy way just to let those frustrations out. But I think you're absolutely right. I think what I hadn't necessarily picked up on is that Charlie Taylor did
the ugly stuff,
which is,
look at, you know, the game away at Luton, he started, he was outstanding. He's not a good passer of the ball, but he'll put his body on the line, he'll head it away, he'll block it. And the last two games he started at centre back, unless I'm wrong, I think we've kept clean sheets.
I think I saw a few comments saying that what Charlie Taylor does, because he is that blend of the old school to the new,
yeah,
it does slow the game down a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Pressure. And I think that was probably one of the frustrations last night as well, because we were facing an onslaught of pressure from the Rovers players, you know, like conceding corners. We know that we've not traditionally been that comfortable with corners, defending corners at times this season. Do we really want to give them an opportunity to try and score from a set piece, which is what it only looks like they were doing, you know, putting balls out for corners and just inviting that pressure by giving the ball.
But is that Taylor's fault? Is that Taylor's fault we're conceding corners?
There was a couple of times when he did put the ball out for the corner, when Bayer and Taylor Howard's better to be more comfortable to play it out, get it to the wings and press it. I think we can say, I don't know this, but I wonder if we conceded more corners yesterday than we usually do, because that's one of our strengths. We don't invite those set pieces because
I don't think that's Taylor, though. I think, like, from watching it, you know, I spoke to my dad, who was live. He said the midfield just was not showing for the ball.
No, they absolutely weren't. I can remember three, I think, in the last 15 minutes where Taylor himself headed the ball out of play, where I wonder whether one of our other defenders might
have tried to play it out. Come back to this, and then you say Taylor headed the ball away for a corner or throw-in. But then you're moaning at it. But fans are moaning when he's trying to play out from the back. So what do you
exactly
want?
Exactly. What's he supposed to do?
That's what I'm like.
He can't win.
Yeah, he can't. This is the more point I'm making. He can't win.
What did you want from Charlie Taylor last night? He kept a clean sheet. You don't want him to play out, don't. But then he has to. You then have to be able to defend the corners properly, which we did, to be fair.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
And I think sometimes you've got to look at the bigger picture. Why did he head the ball out? What led up to that? Was Matson out of position? Was, you know, it's hard to remember all the game, isn't it? I've not had a chance to watch it again because it's, you know.
No, I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah, you know, and I think sometimes it is good to watch the game again and you can see it in a different light, isn't it, when you're less emotional. And but, like, you know, going on from Taylor, it's an interesting, but how good was Alderkeel?
Like, he was my man of the match last night.
Oh, he was my man of the match by a considerable distance. thought he was outstanding.
Spot on. He said he shows up for the big games, and he was cool. It was like, and he's passionate at the end, and he was like so excited to win the title, and VK was giving. I just thought he's going to be a real talent. He's going to be our talent. Yeah, we're going to sell him for a lot of money. Really excited.
Yeah. I remember Middlesbrough because like watching the celebrations, and obviously he played really well at Middlesbrough, Alder Keel.
Yeah, he did.
He just looked like, not in a bad way, in a nice way, like a rabbit in the headlights.
Yeah,
the
celebrations, he did.
Like, he couldn't believe his luck that he'd got a move from a smallest club in Belgium to come to this team, and he's going to be in the Premier League. And,
yeah.
You know, and I think he'll play more than we think, actually, next year.
Yeah, and if we do keep Bayer, those three there to have, Harwood, Bellis, Bayer, Alder Keel and Ekdal, like, how amazing are our centre-halves?
And the one thing Alder Keel's got is pace.
Yes.
That's, you know,
did you see
him
last night? He recovered. There was a couple of times where they broke the defence and he just followed them and just took the ball off them. Really good.
Fantastic. And I think Ekdal reads the game probably the best still out of that, I'd say, in terms of just being a rock of a defender.
Yeah.
But he does lack that pace, which he can get caught with in the Premier League. So it's just really exciting, isn't it? And you look at a young player like him and where he's developed and in the short space of time and how much he's going to keep improving and developing, and it's very exciting. It's an interesting debate, isn't it, and how you look and analyze games in different ways, and I think George is someone who sees the game, like he looks at maybe what Barnes does well all the time, and I think me and Tom look at maybe kind of get frustrated by Barnes a little bit more than other
I'm in the middle trying to referee you all, like going, what's going on? What can I pick out for the podcast here? What can we use? But
it's all good.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Rich. That's really great. I really wanted to get your views on Taylor because I know you were very, very keen to highlight the good things he did last night. So excellent input as always.
Cheers, Natalie. Thank you very much.
The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Natalie Bromley is the host and editor, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Richard Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, Adam Dennett, and Robbie Kopak. Our music is provided by George Gaskill, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonadnever.substack.com. Our thanks as ever go to our partners, TalkSport. We are, as ever, proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.